So we're in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, page 55 in the Pew Bible. And before the summer, we've been working our way through Mark's Gospel, and we continue where we left off at verse 24. And just as some wee background to this story, if you remember where we left off, Jesus was mainly speaking to the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And when we come to this particular story, he's moving throughout the country, and he's now moved into a place where there are very few Jews living. They're mostly Gentile people, people who are not Jews. And so it's quite important for us to see that here. So verse 24. Then Jesus left and went away to the territory near the city of Tyre, which is now modern-day Lebanon. He went into a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, but he could not stay hidden. A woman whose daughter had an evil spirit in her heard about Jesus and came to him at once and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, born in the region of Phoenicia in Syria. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus answered, "Let us first feed the children. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." "Sir," she answered, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's leftovers." So Jesus said to her, "Because of that answer, go back home, where you will find that the demon has gone out of your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed. The demon had indeed gone out of her. May the Lord bless us this reading of his holy word. Amen. Now, before we can really understand the meaning of this story in Mark's Gospel, we have to remind ourselves about what Jesus was teaching immediately before it. And back in June, when we were looking at the beginning of Mark chapter 7, we're looking at how Jesus challenged the assumptions of the religious leaders of the day, that some of the assumptions that the stricter Jews and Pharisees had made when it came to what things made someone acceptable or not acceptable to God. And there was lots of laws about what you could eat, what you could drink, and what you couldn't eat, and what you couldn't drink. And they believed that that was what made someone acceptable or not acceptable to God. And Jesus challenged this belief. And Jesus was beginning to turn these ideas that they had held on their head. And it's important that we get that, or we really fail to understand what is going on in this strange story that we just read together. This woman that comes to Jesus looking for help for her daughter is not a Jew. She's a Gentile woman from Syria. She was an outsider, and to the Jews she was outside of the blessings of God. And she understood that as well. But she was a woman of great faith, and she had to overcome real barriers to receive what God had for her. And so I want us to look today at this story in two parts. First of all, what I'll call the barriers to blessing. And this woman experienced those barriers in her life. And this woman had a real need, and she was desperate for help. Her daughter is tormented by a demon, an evil spirit. We don't know anything more about it. We don't know if she was affected physically by this or what it actually meant for her. But her mother was concerned for her daughter, and she wanted help. And she knew that Jesus was the only one who could help her. Maybe she'd tried doctors before. Maybe she'd taken her doctor to other kind of healers or faith healers, and nothing happened. She was desperate, and she knew Jesus could help her. But there were so many barriers in the way for her that she had to go over first. I don't know if you can imagine for a moment that you had a particular problem that only the Prime Minister could solve for you. Don't know what kind of problem that would be, but it was a problem that only the Prime Minister would be able to do something for you. That the only way you could get help would be to have a personal audience with the Prime Minister. Now, if you think about how difficult that would be, how would you go about doing it? How would you start off? Or maybe you would write to your MP and see if that was be a place to start. And if you got past your MP, you might get forwarded to a government minister, and you may be invited down to London to meet with this person, and they would want to check out that you were genuine and, you know, what is the problem? Do you really need to speak to the Prime Minister? And then if they agreed to let you see the Prime Minister, you would have to go through security checks. MI5 might be tapping your phone and listening in to what you're saying or looking at your emails. They would want to know that you are somebody that they could let see the Prime Minister. And then even when you maybe got to Downing Street, you would be searched at the door before they would ever let you in. And I'm sure the actual process would probably be even more complicated than what I've laid out just now. But for this woman in Samaria, coming to Jesus and asking something of him must have seemed just as impossible, that the problems must have been just as insurmountable for her. And on the surface, the woman's situation looked completely hopeless. And for a start, she was the wrong nationality. She was not a Jew. That maybe seems strange to us. Why would that be a barrier? You know, in our day and age, that seems odd. But at that time, that was a big barrier, that she was of a different nationality. She was a Gentile, and Jesus was a Jew. And Jews were not supposed to mix with Gentiles. They were not supposed to eat together or speak together in public. The Jews kept themselves separate from the people around them. She was also a woman. It was forbidden for a Jewish man to talk to a strange woman out in public. Unless the woman was a member of his family or a close family friend, they were forbidden to speak to someone in public. So why would this man, Jesus, give her the time of day? And Satan was against her too. And we see here that her daughter is under the control of an evil spirit or a demon, that there's something spiritual going on here as well. And it's perhaps difficult for us to understand how much of a barrier that would have been. That when there's something spiritual going on in the background, there is some kind of battle going on here between good and evil. And that was a barrier as well. And in Matthew's version of this story, even the disciples were against her. And this woman comes to them, they say to Jesus, get rid of her, send her away. She's being a nuisance. Do you want us to do something about her? So they are against her as well. And then it almost seems like Jesus is against her too. And many of you will perhaps have had experiences like that when it seems like everything is against you. You're desperate for God to act on your behalf, but the circumstances around you just seem impossible. When you look at the situation, it looks hopeless. And it's easy for those things can drag you down very quickly into more and more hopelessness. It might be to do with finances or your job. It might be problems within a marriage. It might be to do with your health or your family's health. That whatever it is, the situation may seem hopeless. And when you're in the midst of difficulties like that, it's hard for us to keep focusing on Jesus and not on the hopelessness of the situation. It's difficult to keep trusting him in those circumstances. And what does Jesus say to this woman when she asks for help? Well, there in verse 27 he says, let us first feed the children. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Maybe some of you are saying, did Jesus really say that? And what would your reaction be if someone said that to you? Would you be insulted, take the hump, walk away? Now, when Jesus refers to the children, he's talking about the Jewish people, called in the Old Testament, the children of Israel were led from Egypt into the promised land. So when he talks about children, he's talking about his own people. And in those days, Jews referred to Gentiles as dogs or wild dogs. And the Gentiles had some pretty nasty words for the Jews as well, some even nastier than that. And we ask, why on earth would Jesus say something like that? The Jesus that we know, would he have said something like that? It may seem strange to us reading it here, but there's actually quite a wee bit of humour going on here. It's more a kind of gentle banter between people from two different towns or two different countries. And I suppose you might compare it to us maybe telling jokes about the Irish being stupid. I can say that because my name's Murphy. or maybe tell jokes about Aberdonians being tight-fisted. Apologies to any Aberdonians here, or even people from Port Glasgow. So, but it's important to remember that Jesus saw his ministry as being first for the Jewish people. And that was for a very good reason, because he knew his time was short. Jesus didn't have time to go running around everywhere, meeting everyone's needs. He knew his life was going to end soon. And although we see later on in the Gospels that, yes, God wanted to bring the gospel to people who weren't Jews, and Jesus knew that, but that was not his mission. That was his disciples' mission. His mission was to his own people, the Jewish people. And he didn't want to get sidetracked into something else. In Matthew's version of the story, Jesus says to the woman, I have been sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. That was his mission, to his own people, first and foremost. And yes, there are times in the Gospels where we see him taking time to minister to other people. Remember the centurion, the Roman centurion, he takes time to be with him. But by and large, it's his own people that he is with. Now, to us, Jesus' words maybe seem like a slap in the face. But to this woman of great faith, these words were actually a glimmer of hope. And I'll explain that in a wee minute. And when I read this, I was reminded of the words from Job 13. You know, Job suffered very much. He lost his wife, he lost his family, lost his living. He had a terrible disease in his body. Everything around him just seemed hopeless. And he said this about God, though he slay me, I will hope in him. But no matter what it seems like around me, that even if God seems against me, I will still trust in him. But in this story, despite Jesus' lack of interest, this woman held on to hope. And for those facing difficult circumstances just now, hope might seem very far away for you. But even in the darkest place, there can still be found that slightest glimmer of hope. And what this woman did can be an encouragement to us all, that in the slightest glimmer of hope that she had led her to a place of great faith, as we'll see just now. And so lastly, I want us to consider the triumph of this woman's faith, holding on to that slight glimmer of hope and having faith to believe that Jesus could help her. And so there was all these barriers put in her way. Anyone else would have perhaps given up and turned away. But there was something in Jesus' words which was unexpected, which gave her hope. Now, when a Jew wanted to insult a Gentile, they used a specific word. It was the word for a wild dog or a scavenging dog, which is pretty insulting, let's face it. What surprises the woman here is that the word Jesus uses is not that word as she might expect a Jew to insult her with. Jesus uses the word for a household pet, like a small puppy, which does maybe seem strange, but it's actually part of the joke here that's going on between Jesus and the woman. You might think, well, calling somebody a small puppy, that's quite insulting as well. But to her, she must have thought, wait a minute. Wait, you mean you're not calling me a wild dog? That in that culture, although the children were always fed first, the pets got fed second. But it was a duty of a Jew to make sure that their pets were fed and cared for. Now, to us, that might still seem insulting, but you have to understand that there's a bit of humour going on here and a bit of banter between Jesus and the woman. But that gave her hope. She thought, wait a minute, maybe Jesus doesn't see me as so untouchable as maybe anyone else would. Maybe he can do something for me. And so that's why she says, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's leftovers. So she was responding to Jesus' joke. And she recognised that Jesus had other priorities for his own people, but that didn't stop her. She had a need, and she knew that Jesus could help her. She was prepared to accept whatever scraps there might be for her. She just wanted her little girl well again. Jesus commends her faith when he says, because of that answer, go home, where you will find the demon has gone out of your daughter. And Jesus acted on her behalf because of her faith. It's important to say here that faith on its own does not always lead to God answering prayer the way we expect him to. Faith on its own does not always lead to God working in that way. Yes, sometimes God delivers us from our trouble, and sometimes he gives us strength to endure in the midst of it. And why that is will only be revealed to us when we meet Jesus face to face. But the reverse is always true, that there's no answer to prayer without faith. There's no answer to prayer without faith. And faith perseveres, faith pushes through, even when everything around seems impossible. And faith clings on to even the slightest glimmer of hope. Now, someone once said this about faith. Faith hears the inaudible and sees the invisible, believes the incredible and receives the impossible. And this woman had that kind of faith. She didn't allow the barriers to prevent her getting her miracle. And her story is a great example and encouragement for all of us. But before we beat ourselves up and tell ourselves that, well, no, I couldn't have that kind of faith, it's important to remember that having that kind of strong faith and trust in God doesn't happen overnight. And it doesn't happen automatically either. So a man called Smith Wigglesworth, who was a wee Yorkshire plumber, grew up in the Salvation Army, a great man of God, a great man of faith. And God used him greatly in bringing healing to people and bringing people to faith in Christ. And he used to say, great faith comes as a result of great fights. Great faith comes as a result of great fights. And I think we know what that means, that faith comes through adversity and difficulty. Our faith will not grow unless we face these things head on. May God give us that faith that perseveres when everything around us seems impossible. And in those times that we struggle to have faith, may God help us to cling on to hope. And when there seems no hope, so that faith might ignite in us once again. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the example of this woman and her great faith. That despite all the obstacles that seemed to be before her, She persevered and did not allow them to stop her getting to Jesus. And Lord, may we learn from her example that when all around us seems hopeless, when it seems like there is no hope, help us to persevere. Help us to keep believing. Help us to keep trusting that you are a good God and that you have our best interests at heart. And that even when things appear not to work out the way we expect, help us to keep trusting and to cling on to faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.